This is Rich and Ken with Ted Johnson on WEEI.
And it is 93.7 WEEI, and what a ride this Red Sox team has been on over the last couple of weeks. I mean, you want to talk about how cool a story it would be if they just continue on this streak. It's amazing how many teams were ahead of them in the wild card, or at least, you know, to get into the wild card. And now only three teams, I believe, ahead, and they're no longer in last place in the division. But this American League is so screwed up and so strange that who knows what will happen. But I do know that Chad Tracy has been doing a pretty damn good job. And right now, the team under his reign has hit 500. And Chad Tracy, who we love having on, he is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network, by Arbella, here for baseball fans, here for good, and by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Hey, Chad, thanks for joining us, man. It's been a, as I was saying, a hell of a ride the last couple of weeks.
What's up, guys? How we doing?
What's up, Chad? So what is the difference? I know that's a very generic question to start with, but, I mean, we're seeing hitting now. We're seeing wins. We're seeing wins against good teams. Like, I mean, the Sox obviously have been, you know, one of the hottest teams in baseball, the White Sox, and, you know, then there was the Yankees series. Have you noticed, is there anything noticeable that you believe has changed that has kind of put this team on a different trajectory over the last couple of weeks?
I think in big picture terms, probably we're doing some things now consistently that we weren't before. And, you know, such as, you know, the offensive part, it's not just the run scoring, but it's the, you know, some of the swing decisions and, you know, not swinging at everything and taking our walks when they come. Scoring early against opposing starters has been a big thing and something we weren't doing before. So when you start to pile up some games where you're doing some things that you weren't before, it makes you feel as a group. It gives you some confidence knowing like, okay, this is something we weren't doing before. We've now done it for a stretch of games in a row, and we see the results it's giving us. So I just think that there was a lot of different things, you know, that were going on offensively that we kept attacking. And we're seeing the fruits of the labor now. So that being said, we have to maintain it.
Chad, it's been a wild ride for Wilson Contreras over the last couple of weeks. Obviously, there was the skirmish and the suspension that was given out. And then he found out he's going to be in the All-Star game. And now we're finding out he's going to be in the Home Run Derby, which I think was just announced. Let me just start with his status as far as the suspension is concerned. What's the latest on that? What have you heard about his suspension and where that stands?
I haven't heard anything, to be honest with you. I know they're working through that. I know there's been results on a couple of the players that were involved on their end. I think, you know, you don't hear a lot on that stuff until it actually comes. Obviously, we're preparing ourselves for if and when that happens. But you know, usually you don't get much word on that until they've reached a final verdict. So, don't know what it's going to be. We're definitely, preparing for potentially having to be without Wilson, but we're still waiting.
Happens on the field because, you know, obviously there's some things that you don't want your players to do, but at the same time, you also, you understand just how valuable Wilson Contreras is to this team. What kind of discussions did you have afterwards as far as that situation was concerned?
Not a lot. To be honest with you, after that happened, I left the game with him. I was ejected and I just sat with him, you know, I mean, for about the last inning and a half, watched the game on TV and just sat with him and, understanding of, you know, outside of just the circumstances of baseball, all the other things that were going on in his life in that moment with the stuff going on in Venezuela. And, you know, yeah, yes. Like having Wilson on the field for our team is very important. But in that particular moment, trying to see things through a lens of like everything else that's going on in addition to what just happened. So just sat with him and just made sure he knew that we were there to support him and we'll get through it one way or another. But, you know, haven't had many other conversations around it. He's been absolutely amazing on this road trip, not just what he's done on the field, but the leadership he's taken and how engaged he's been on the bench and helping guys. And he's just been incredible. So keep riding that wave as long as we can. And then as a group, figure it out if we have to play some games without him.
How do you feel about him being selected for the Home Run Derby and any trepidation at the Derby curse at the end of it?
No, I think it's cool. I think it's good for him. First of all, you know, we had to wait for him to get into the All-Star game. I'm very, very happy about that. I felt like that was, when you look at the numbers, not only what he's meant to our team, but you just look at the numbers in the league and regardless of position. He's got some of the best offensive numbers in the American League, and you just felt like this has got to happen eventually. So I'm pumped about that. And then obviously the Derby, you know, it's a cool thing. It's a cool thing for baseball. It's one of the most watched events. And if, you know, he's wanting to do that and gets to be on that big stage, that's amazing, an amazing opportunity. So, and I think they're changing the format this year, if I'm not mistaken. I haven't looked all the way into it. This is me as my own opinion, not a fan of that other format where it's just take as many swings as possible in a 2-minute period. I think it's exhausting. So I think it if they're going back to the old format, it allows you to really enjoy watching each individual home run and a little bit less taxing on the player. But so I'm a more of a fan of that format. But broadly, I think if he wants to do it, I think it's great for the game.
And what are the chances that Sonny Gray might get a nod? Have you heard anything about that still being a possibility?
I haven't heard it. It's another one you don't hear a lot on. I sure hope. To answer your question, I sure hope that the odds are good. You're talking about a 10-1 pitcher with a 2. Whatever ERA, one of the best, one of the best pitchers in the American League. You know, so I'm hopeful, remaining hopeful over the next, couple of days, handful of days, that with all the things that happen in the league, with whether it's injuries or players that pitch on Saturday or Sunday that can't participate and drop out or whatever it is, hopeful that he ends up where he belongs as well.
So, Chad, this has obviously been a season where there's been there's been some highs, like the Yankees series, and obviously this last win last night was a great one. And there's obviously been some lows too, and I know that Bill Belichick famously used to use bulletin board material. There was the famous story about how when they were about to play in the Super Bowl, he found the Super Bowl parade for the Eagles and like read the parade route in front of the team before they actually played and got them motivated. Ted Johnson's talked about that a lot. Do you guys, with all the stuff that's been said in the media, when things were going bad, do you ever use any of that? Is there any kind of bulletin board, us against them material that you introduced to the guys to get them motivated?
I don't think so. No. I think the closest we've come is I know that Flo and some of the group and Tyler, one of our guys that works in our video, we put together a video with some of the guys and showed them what Fenway is like when the team is playing well, like at the end of last year, more so because of, over a month ago when we were playing so poorly at home and there's a lot of boos raining down and different things, wanted some of the guys that hadn't been here to get a glimpse of like, hey, if we can turn this thing around, this is what it looks like at this place when the team embraces you. And you start playing the game the way you should. So no, I don't think it was any us against anybody. It was just like, this is what it'll turn into. But as much as they get frustrated, like they'll back you when the team plays well. So we did some of that. But outside of that, no, you bring up Belichick. My favorite Belichick moment ever was, I think it was Cincinnati, right? On to Cincinnati.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
That one, for me, if you're going to give me a mantra, like I just kept saying to the guys, and I think I've said it in the media a lot, is we're worried about today, right? Yeah. Like they keep mentioning how if we do this over the next 2 weeks, I'm like, we're worried about today. Like when you're in our position, the position we were in and the position we're still in, you don't have the luxury of thinking about, okay, if we get to September, no, it's just, we have to go out today. And our job is to go out and play a good baseball game and try to beat the White Sox today. And then we'll take care of tomorrow and the next day. And that's been kind of what we've been focusing on here lately, and we have to continue to do that.
That's a great story. Who was it who made that video of the Red Sox winning and showed it to them?
I think it was Flo had brought it to Tyler. Tyler Forgione works in our video. He's in there with Brindley and all the time. So brought it to him. He does really good work, and it was like a quick 2-minute video. And I think some of the veteran guys that had been here through that last year spoke in it. And to answer your question, no, it's not us against anybody. It's more like let's give these people some baseball that they can be proud of, and we've done that here for a couple weeks, but everybody in here knows too, like a day at a time, and we still have 70 some odd games to go, and we have to continue to do this for a period of time.
That's cool, because we had talked about that. There were guys in the team who had never known what it feels like, to do that, and Fenway's a great place, and now they've got a taste of it. And it's like, I'm sure it's addicting.
That was a couple weeks ago. And to your point, like the I think everybody to a man, like that hadn't been here, they got a taste of it in the New York series. Cause that was as electric as Fenway has been all year. It was incredible. The environment that the fans put forth during that series. And obviously we won all four games, but for for the guys that haven't been here to get to experience that and had seen the video before, like, oh, that's true. That is what this feels like when you start to play good baseball here.
Chad, what are the chances Brian Baio's back in the mix here if you need a spot start coming up?
We'll see. We're talking about a lot of different scenarios. Obviously, getting down to the end of the All-Star break or getting down to the end of the half or getting close to the All-Star break. So there's a lot of things in play there. Obviously, Brian's down there working hard. That's an option. There's length relief options if we need to piece something together. So we have not decided yet on what we're going to do. Also, we have to see how Ranger feels tomorrow. If he goes and throws a side, how does he feel? Are we even going to need a starter or not? Like, there's just so many balls up in the air with that still that we'll make the best decision we can once we know what we're going to have to do.
And with Peyton Tolley yesterday, who had a terrific bounce back for you, he called it the recalibration. How do you decide when in a game like that is the right time to pull him? I think he was at 91 pitches. As the season gets on, will you let some of your starters go deeper?
For me, first of all, like six innings and no runs is pretty deep, you know? And I think when you're dealing with a guy like Tolles, who's like, you're still mindful of, you know, young pitchers and workloads, right? So you're mindful of that. And you're mindful of, like, when we get six innings and we have a 4-0 lead, do I really need to push this guy well north of 100 pitches, which we have done hardly at all the whole season? And are you at a number where you feel like, how much am I asking to do here? And, you know, if I have only about 8 to 10 pitches of breathing room, am I just asking to go out there and put two runners on base just to yank him out of the game? So you have to factor all of those things in when you're making a decision like that, and also factor in a player in his first full season and being mindful of the load on him too. So, I think if we're being fair, like I think, you know, at least in the time I've been here, have shown that, you know, I'm not afraid to push starters. You know, I think evidenced by the 13 or whatever in a row quality starts that we had, and the number of those went into the seventh inning, sometimes the eighth. But each situation is different, you know, and where you're at in the schedule and when you see it, a 4-day break coming up and, you know, and trying to maintain load throughout a full season, all that stuff comes into play when you're making decisions like that.
All right, Chad, you mentioned Ranger a second ago. Like, what once again, can you just clarify his status and how he's doing and what you guys are expecting of him in the next couple of days?
Yeah, he had a little adductor tightness, groin tightness. So obviously he was removed from the game, was able to go out and play catch yesterday. And really, today he's going to be very light with nothing, and then we'd have a scheduled normal day where he'd throw a little bit more intent and be off the mound tomorrow. Everything's on hold right now until he gets off the mound tomorrow, and we'll see after the, you know, that 72 hours of time where he healed. How is he feeling during a side? And then it gives us a little bit better information to make an informed decision on, is he going to be able to make this start or not? And we'll see how he feels tomorrow and go from there.
And anything back, Chad, from the Roman hand specialist that he was going to see today?
No, he's seeing one today. I have not heard back on that yet, but he is seeing the specialist today in Atlanta. And then just continuing the rehab process and the things he was doing here. He's doing that in Florida, was on his way down to Florida, and he got to Florida, went to the specialist down south there in Atlanta, and he'll continue his rehab, but have a better idea with images today if everything's progressing, you know, and are still looking good. So we'll have more answers on that after we hear.
All right. So Chad, finally, I was having a discussion with my friend and I didn't realize that my take on this would have been so controversial, but I was telling him that Major League is the best baseball movie of all time. And he came back at a movie that I absolutely despise, and I will not spoil it for you or taint your opinion, but in your mind, what is the greatest baseball movie that's ever been made?
So you said Major League, but which one, though? There's three of them.
Back to the Minors, the third one that didn't
have any. Terrible. That's one of the worst baseball movies I've ever seen. The other first couple are up there. I'll tell you one of the most realistic baseball movies I've seen that I love. It was actually on TV last night, For Love of the Game.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
That's a combination, really good baseball movie / love story. But the baseball portrayal of actual baseball in that movie is as good as I've seen. I thought that was a really cool movie just because the way they were able to make it so realistic. But the Major Leagues are up there for me. Those are a must watch anytime they're on TV.
No question. I got to get your opinion on Field of Dreams.
I like Field of Dreams. Another Kevin Costner movie, yep. Baseball guy. I like Field of Dreams a lot. I think it's a great movie.
You had to think about it. You had to justify it being good because that movie is not good.
Like there is a large chunk of that movie that isn't really baseball. You know, like there are spots of it that are obviously based around baseball, right? But there's a lot of chunks of it that aren't. But I think the ending's cool, you know, playing catch with dad under the lights. I like the movie a lot. You know, I like the movie a lot. I think there's other ones I prefer over.
John Mulaney does an amazing bit where he talks about that movie. And he's like, so then the one guy, like, literally has attempted murder, throwing the kid off the stands. The kid's injured. And then one of the players comes out in order to help him. But because of ghost baseball rules, he's not allowed to go back into the game because ghost baseball rules say that it's completely forbidden. Every time the music would drive up, like they're trying to put lemons in your eyes to get you to cry. I don't know. Yeah. That was the debate I had where he was trying to tell me Field of Dreams is better than Major League. And I'm just like, come on, man. Major League. I thought I knew you, my friend.
Major Leagues. The Major League movies are the combination of the baseball and how funny they are. Those are hard to beat.
No question. As long as you don't complain that Wesley Snipes out of nowhere was replaced with Omar Epps. In the second one.
Yeah.
Don't look. No one will notice. All right. Well,
no.
Well, Chad Tracy, good stuff, man. Hopefully this keeps up. You're making it interesting. As I said, it's been so weird how the American League has been. And, you know, despite the way things started, I mean, you're just a couple of games, like four games now out of the wild card. And if you continue to beat good teams, that makes it even better. So good luck.
Yeah, I think it's important. That's important. That part's important. Keep, you know, the part about it, at least, you know, reinvigorating interest, you know, like I think, you know, as of a few weeks ago, people were pretty down on us. So reinvigorating interest on the team is important, too. But like you said, I know you're going to wrap, but we have to keep doing it. We have to keep doing it for a period of time.
Yeah, definitely. And it's been, as I said, it's been entertaining to watch as well. Well, awesome. Thank you, Chad,
thanks,
for coming
Chad.
On with us. We'll talk to you again
you
next
got
week.
It.
All right. See you, Chad.
All right, guys.
Red Sox manager Chad Tracy is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. The official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network, by Arbella, here for baseball fans, here for good, and by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. I thought my friend had good taste, and then he mentioned that Field of Dreams was the best baseball movie, and
I
want to vomit.
I don't think it's the best baseball movie, but it does have Burt Lancaster in his last role, Moonlight Grin.
He was the ghost baseball player who couldn't go back into the game. But, dude, you're ghosts. You can make your own rules.
I'm not embarrassed
to say. And then Timothy Busfield tried to murder that kid.
Oh, yeah.
He, tried to kill a kid, and, I was just like, oh, but baseball.
Definitely overrated. Sandlot, however, is absolutely phenomenal.
God, I'm going to disagree with
sappy,
you on that, too.
But it's so good. And Bull Durham's really good, and Moneyball's really good. Those should all be in the conversation.
You know which one is underrated is 8 Men Out.
Oh, that's classic.
Yes. 8 Men Out is unbelievable.
That's Bradford's favorite.
Okay, well, then he's got a good day. And Bull Durham is very good. You see, the Sandlot... you know what? I saw that years after everyone had seen it, and I wasn't a kid anymore either when I saw it.
You don't have to be a kid to see it.
I know, but it's like, I don't know. When it became a cartoon, when the big dog showed up, I was, I'm not going to kill it too much because it's a kid's movie. You know, it's like saying Angels in the Outfield sucks. It's a kid's movie, you know?
It's not a kid's movie.
I did like the one, what was the one where Smalls? The kid's arm got triggered?
Rookie of the Year.
Rookie of the Year was all right. That was your dream come true when you were a kid. Hell yeah, Rookie of the Year.
By the way, sneaky good Dennis Leary appearance in Sandlot. He's like the evil dad, the evil stepdad or whatever.
Who had the baseball that was signed Listen, as I said, Sandlot's not a bad movie. It's just, it's not my favorite. Major League, the first one, is just fantastic. Yeah. It's great.
Hard to top.
And The Natural is so manipulative, and it's so stupid when he hits the sign, and all the stuff comes down, the lights, but I don't care. I'm into it. That's a movie that I know I'm being manipulated. I know it's sap. I like The Natural.
See, some things you go for and some you don't. It's strange.
I know. It's strange.
Counting Crows, sappy, you should just give them their time. You don't have such a visceral reaction that you walk out of the room when somebody mentions them.
No, just the Counting Crows.
Yet The Natural you're fine.
Around here. Long December.
I like a long December.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for it.
Musician.
I don't know. Who knows? Somebody says Summer Catch with peak Jessica Biel.
Oh, well. Summer Catch.
Filmed right here on the Cape, I'm not mistaken.
Got a local time.
Somebody said, if you don't like Field of Dreams, you hate your dad.
I mean, come on. I can't believe your take on Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams is so awful.
It is overrated.
It's awful.
Hey,
the guy that threw the kid off the stands is now in jail for for other things that he did bad.
The dude from 30-something. That's right. And it's funny. It's like you could say, well, you know, the natural sappy. Yeah, but for some reason, I like the natural. I didn't like Field of Dreams.
A lot of Bull Durham on the text line.
Bull Durham's a good movie. Bull Durham's a very good movie. I like that a lot.
Bad News Bears.
Bad News Bears was pretty funny. That was pretty good. It was basketball. Yeah, basketball. I remember basketball. That was all right. That was the one with the South Park guys, and I think Bob Costas got like all Randy in that. All right, 617-779-7937.
You're trying to feel these nipples.
That was great. That was a very funny line. All right, we'll be right back.